Greetings, church. Hope you're doing well this morning. It's wonderful to be with you again. This morning, we take a break from our series on the book of Hebrews because today is a special day. Today is not Mother's Day. Today is not Father's Day. But today is, in fact, Pentecost Sunday, and such a special day in the Christian calendar. And I think all of you know that Pentecost means 50, so it's 50 days after Easter Sunday, 7 Sundays after Easter. And this morning I'm wanting to share a message called The Sound of Pentecost. The Sound of Pentecost. And the first sound that we hear about is the sound of a violent wind from heaven. But before I share that scripture with you, let's just pray together. Father, we bless you, we honor you, and we thank you. We thank you for your goodness, your kindness, your mercy, your grace. Holy Spirit, I commit this message to you. I pray for everybody that's listening back at home. Would you open their ears and their hearts to receive, not from me, but from you, by your Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name, let your kingdom come. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, everyone at home say suddenly. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Earlier this year, we were at a staff devotional. From time to time, Pastor Heinrich, our leader, shares with the staff and just brings them up to speed with what's happening in Shofar. And on this occasion, we were in the beautiful town of Hermanus. Pastor Andries and Lisa, they were hosting us there. And Heinrich shared an amazing message. And then afterwards, it's become tradition that the hosting church kind of gives a meal to the pastors and to the staff. And Hermanus certainly didn't disappoint. They catered big time. But you know, when you're in Hermanus with Andries and Lisa, you get that infomercial sense. You know that, but wait, there's more. And so you knew there was something more coming. And so they did not disappoint and kind of loaded us into a bus or three. And we went down to the beach, and it was a perfect day in Hermanus. And they had booked out a beach restaurant for the entire staff. And we were treated there. And I suppose traditionally at a beach restaurant, you would have cocktails. But because we were church staff, we had mocktails, okay, which is essentially a fruit drink, a fruit juice. And so we were having a great time. And I was busy sipping my, I suppose, what was meant to be a strawberry daiquiri, but it was just strawberry juice. I was sipping my strawberry juice and speaking to some of my colleagues when suddenly, and I mean suddenly there was a sound like a violent wind, I suppose from the sky. At that stage, I wasn't quite sure where it came from, but we were busy standing there having a conversation, and all of a sudden, there was this explosion of a noise right above our heads, but it flew across the sky like this, and it sounded literally like the sky was cracking open as a fighter jet passed above our heads, and we hadn't heard it coming. We had no warning. It just, because it's flying so fast, you know, it just literally just kind of whizzed above our heads and kind of like kind of went up into the sky and did like a big turn and then came down again and circled the bay in what felt like about a half a second and then it came around again. Now the second time I actually enjoyed the experience. The first time was deeply scary and frightening, and it literally felt like this violent wind that had come from heaven. I felt a little bit like in the movie Top Gun, I think it's the captain that's always kind of sipping his coffee in the tower when Maverick, you know, the fighter pilot, doesn't give them warning and flies by and he kind of spills his coffee. I felt a little bit like that with my strawberry daiquiri there, or my fruit daiquiri. And man, there was this sound, and I'll never forget that sound. And my heart was racing because I literally thought, you know, we're either being attacked or Jesus is coming back or something. But it kind of stimulated and overpowered, in fact, all my senses, you know, and it took a while for a conversation to get going again. But it was this violent sound that came rushing in. And I would imagine the way the Bible describes Acts chapter 2, that there was this shock factor, if I can put it that way, this sound that you weren't expecting. You're kind of just waiting on the Lord, and suddenly your senses are overpowered as the sound kind of comes down from heaven onto earth and kind of just kind of shakes you a bit, you know, like that fighter jet did to us. And we often think of the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and you know, he knocked softly, you know, at the heart of your door, and he does. But if we have to read Acts chapter 2, he certainly did not make a gentle, soft appearance. It was genuine. It was a loud, loud, interruptive sound. And I want to ask you this morning, what was the sound made in your life when the Holy Spirit came to indwell you? When he came to make his home in you? In my case, it was the sound of me hitting the floor. You know, first time I ever had an experience like that, never had it again. Only happened once in my life when somebody, you know, my youth pastor put his hand on my head and he prayed for me. Man, there was no resistance. And the sound that was heard was me not knowing what is going on, just being completely filled as this power rushed into me and just took over my body. But the other sound that changed in my life from that day forward as a 15-year-old was the sound that came out of my mouth as I spoke to my friends. You know, I wasn't saved, and I wasn't the naughtiest guy around, but man, I had quite a foul mouth on me. And I just remember how the sound that came out of me changed as something came into me, something different came out of me, and it was a different sound. My words weren't interlaced with kind of coarse, you know, sailor type language. It changed. My sound changed as the Holy Spirit came and lived in me. I want to ask you this morning, what sound are you making since the Holy Spirit came and lived in you? The second sound we hear, or we read about in Acts chapter 2 is the sound of tongues. More specifically, of praising God in different tongues. Let me read here for us from Acts 2 verse 4. It says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews, from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? The day of Pentecost was filled with a number of sounds. After we had this unprecedented sound of heaven invading earth, something happens. These tongues as of fire come and rest on the apostles and the disciples, and they start making a sound that they have not made before. And the sound clearly was not constrained to the area where they were meeting, because the Bible clearly tells us here that the sound that the apostles and the disciples started making after the other sound that came attracted the attention of many, many people. Word says they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven, and they heard a sound. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together. So sound was drawing a crowd. And the word says these people were in bewilderment. Bewilderment means they are standing utterly amazed. In fact, utterly amazed is what the Bible uses here. And they're asking each other, what does this mean? How is it that we from all over Israel are hearing these Galileans speak in our mother tongues, in our dialects? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Something that you might know by now is that the Galilean accent was a very unique accent. The people from kind of the north spoke differently. It's a little bit like that in the UK, I hear as well. They talk about the northerners, and you know when you're dealing with a northerner because they speak differently, still speaking English, but their accent gives them away. And so clearly their accent was giving them away. Matthew 26, in fact, if you recall that story, Peter's accent gives him away as he's trying to warm himself around the fire, trying to get close to Jesus on the night that they arrested him. And they say to him, but surely you are one of them because you speak like one of them. And so one of the things that's playing out here is that tongues, different tongues that people are understanding are being spoken by a bunch of Galileans. And you will know that even in South Africa, man, we can speak Afrikaans. If you're speaking Afrikaans, I got a good friend, Etienne. He's from a little town in the Northern Cape. Now, when I met Etienne for the first time, you know, I wasn't quite sure if he was speaking Afrikaans because it actually sounded like a different language just because of the way he speaks Afrikaans. And I absolutely love his accent. And man, sometimes we would just have him speak Afrikaans to us just if we want to laugh because it's so beautiful. It's just so original to where he comes from, you know. A little bit like Spies and Plessis used to, you know, talk. And so, you know, if he talk about his mother and his father, he talk about my ma and my pa, you know, but it's like, I can't do it like him. I actually just embarrass myself. But anyway, so people speak Afrikaans different. When we lived in Pretoria, we realized, okay, but these people also speak Afrikaans differently. They'll talk about my ma and my pa, you know, and down in Cape Town, we speak Afrikaans differently as well. But the Galileans' accent gave them away. That was one of the things that you need to realize in the situation. These people realized that there is no way that those people with that accent can speak my native tongue or my mother dialect precisely like that. And because of that, they realized there was something supernatural happening at that moment. Firstly, that they were able to speak about 15 different languages, which, you know, arguably, I suppose they weren't able to speak, but secondly, also because they were speaking it in a way that these people realized, look, if Galileans can talk my mother dialect like that, something supernatural is going on here. What does this mean? And what I believe the Lord did on that day as these sounds started emanating, first the sound of the Holy Spirit and then the sound of the disciples, was God was getting people's attention. And I think that's one of the things we must realize, that when we are moving in the Holy Spirit, you know, there's much that we can do in the natural. There's much that we can prepare for. There's much that we can try and strain and sweat for in the natural. But when God gets involved and the supernatural comes on top of our natural efforts, it gets people's attention. And this certainly was happening on this day. And I believe the main thing that the Lord was doing on that day, he was saying to those people, I've got your number. I can get your attention. I'm trying to get your attention. And he certainly had their attention. And once he had their attention, a third sound, I believe, emanated from the apostles and specifically from Peter on that day. And it was the sound of a man that was preaching, but he was preaching differently. And as he was preaching under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, a final sound emanated from the scene that we've been reflecting on here. And I call it the sound of revival. It was the sound of hearts being cut. It was the sound of people crying out, men, what must we do to be saved? I'm going to read you for us. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. It says, when the people heard this, Peter preaching, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? That is a pastor's dream. It's like when you don't even need to do an altar call. It's like, kind of when you finished your message, they kind of stand up and say, please help me. Just tell me what I must do. You know, that just makes things a whole lot easier. But I believe that what we are seeing here is just the power of the Holy Spirit ministering through Peter. In fact, as we were reflecting on the Holy Spirit in the devotionals, you know, the last 14 days, one of the main things the Holy Spirit does, he's the one that comes to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And so very often, all we need to do is we need to be obedient and say the words. But the conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment, that's not our job. In fact, that's when we mess things up, when we try and do the conviction, when we are tempted to play the role of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that this is what's different to the scene. I would imagine this is not the first time Peter's preaching, but something different happened on this day because they were cut to the heart by a message that I would believe is not entirely new to them, but they responded differently. Peter replies, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord your God will call." And 3,000 people were baptized that day and added to the church. I want to close off with the following. I believe that as we come to the end of this truly significant historical time that we've been in, you know, the last 50 days plus, literally as the world, I believe there's never been an opportunity in our lifetime, certainly, as this, for the sharing of the gospel, for the preaching of the gospel. Why do I say that? I think people at this time are more open than ever to hearing the gospel, because whether you like it or not, your world has been shaken in the last 2 or 3 months. Whether you like it or not, your fundamentals have been assessed and tested. Whether you like it or not, your worldview has been perhaps challenged. Perhaps your worldview has been changed, and the stuff that you've put your faith in and the stuff that you think will just happen as they happened yesterday will happen tomorrow. We've seen, well, the world overnight can become a different place. And the stuff that we've put our hope and our trust and built our lives upon, what the Bible calls building your house upon, that can be shaken. So I want to say to us as Christians, I want to say to us as the church, if there ever was a time where the world was ripe for receiving a message because they've been shaken, and it's now. It's now, the next few days, the next few months. And I don't know about you, but I've got an expectation. We've been sharing messages on revival, and we've been preaching about revival, different pastors in Shofar and certainly here in Franschhoek. And this was way before Corona, you know. But the stuff that we read about here, when people spontaneously start crying out what they must do to be saved, that happened in times of revival. When you don't even need to preach a message. When people start running to churches and start getting saved in their homes without hearing a message. You know, those are the things that I certainly long for. And I want to encourage us as Christians. There's a sound. A sound of revival, a sound of people spontaneously repenting and coming to the Lord. And we see it on this day. And the deciding factor is the Holy Spirit. It's what Evan Roberts says, the definition of revival is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't have time to go into the details of different revivals now, but as you reflect on revivals over the last 100 or 200 years, you don't see a revival where the Holy Spirit is not the main feature, the prominent feature. And I want to encourage us, church, to start praying and start yearning and start hungering for God to touch our communities, for God to touch our neighborhoods, to touch our neighbors, where He would just supernaturally invade our churches, you know, and our friendship groups by His Spirit, and that we would sound differently, we would preach differently, we would share differently, because the Holy Spirit is amongst us. And today is Pentecost Sunday, and I want to encourage you to ask the Lord for more. You know, sometimes we think we're receiving once. That's not the pattern in Acts. There were many subsequent infillings, and where they were filled again. And you can be filled again. You can be filled anew and afresh with the Holy Spirit. And so that's my prayer and my heart for you this morning, is that you would yearn and hunger for more of the Holy Spirit, because the world needs the power of the Holy Spirit. And so as we stand still as a nation, literally on this day, where our president has called for a national day of prayer. I mean, when has this happened? Today is so significant. Let's use this day. Let's come together as Christians. And let's cry out for more. Let's cry out for more of the Spirit. So this morning, sorry about that. I've got totally emotional here. This morning, I want us to end off with just some prayers there at home, as we potentially come to the season where we might be meeting a bit more in the near future, but as we come to potentially the end of us, a season where we are meeting as churches in our home, let's pray for just three things this morning. Let's pray for the sick. You know, there are many people that have lost loved ones in this last while, and we pray to God that there will not be many more of those. We pray for the sick this morning. We pray for those who have lost loved ones. We pray for the frontline staff that are putting their lives and their bodies on the line to serve those that are sick. We pray for the wisdom from our government, or for our government. We pray for the protection of South Africa as the economy opens up and people start moving around and people start interacting. We pray for the supernatural hand of God's protection over our country. And lastly, as I've already prayed, we pray for revival in our towns, a spiritual renewal, a spiritual awakening. The word revival means to come alive again. And this country has been alive, has been in their hearts soft towards God, and we pray for that again. Those prayer points will be up on the screen. So I invite you there at home, gather together as families, as friends. If you're alone at home, the Lord is with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. And let's go into a time of waiting on the Lord. I'd even say just put on some worship music. Church is just starting, people. I pray that you would have an amazing, blessed time at home now as I end this message. And you would go into a time of just waiting on the Lord. And I'm trusting for something special to happen in your homes right now. So, Father, bless everyone as they pray and seek you right now for our country, as we come together as a nation and we seek you. Lord, hear our prayers this day and bring revival to our country, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Lord, bless you, and we'll see you next Sunday again.